Hey guys, I'm Tim.
I'm Bob.
I'm Jeff.
And I'm Dan.
And this is the Board Game Rundown. And today we have got a topic, but first we're going to talk about games we played, some news, and crowdfunding. Ooh. I'm kind of excited about the topic today.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I'm excited for everything except crowdfunding because I don't have anything.
I got one for crowdfunding, so that's fine.
I have one for crowdfunding.
Yep. But anyways,
Bob. I got a big old list for games we played.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah, I had a good day Monday. That was nice.
So, as always, make sure you are liking, subscribing, and all those good things.
Yes, I'm just so excited to get to my list that I forgot apparently. To like and subscribe. Well, actually, I'm already liked and subscribed.
Wow.
So.
You can't be liked. What does that mean?
Well, he's sort of liked.
Yeah, I get invited to friends and family.
Woo!
Let's move on.
Okay, let's go into games we played.
Yeah,
then.
Games we played.
Okay, so Bob, bust through most of your big list.
Sure.
Quickly.
Okay, so first thing we played, which is one of I love this game. I love Hidden Movement. Letters from Whitechapel.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Oh,
were you in on this?
This was my first time playing it.
Yes.
Oh.
I've been wanting to play it for a long time.
Uh-huh. Yep.
I really liked the experience. Part of that is I genuinely think I did really well. I was figuring stuff out. I was putting stuff together. I thought I played really well.
Were you Jack?
I was Jack.
He was Jack.
And Dan was nailing it. And I'm like, don't listen to Dan. Don't listen to Dan. And they didn't, which was awesome. So I won.
I genuinely was. I felt amazing. Like I was on his trail the whole time. Yeah. And then at the end of the game, obviously, when Bob can go over what he's doing, it was just like, man, I was on his tail the whole time.
The whole time. You were right there.
I wanted to say, Bob, though, I've been trying to get my hands on, have you ever played Whitehall Mysteries?
No.
So this is the version I've seen before, which is just basically a slightly streamlined version where instead of you have four murders and then you kind of murder the person, get home, reset everything, In this one, you have murdered someone and you're dropping the four body parts in different locations.
Okay.
And so you get to one spot, drop the body part. We now know you're there. We find the body part. We know you're there. And then you have to get to the next body part. And you just have to get to all four body parts. And there's no resetting. The second round just starts when you get there.
So
it's just a faster streamlined.
So for those
version.
That don't know, Letters from Whitechapel is basically like what, a 4v1?
A 5v1.
So somebody's playing Jack the Ripper, Bob. And a murder occurs, and then everybody's trying to track him down. They basically have the whole day. The round has X amount of moves, but usually it is going
usually
to end
to 15, but usually
when Jack is going to get back to his hideout.
Correct.
So before the game even starts, the player, who is Jack, picks where his
hideout is.
Yes.
Yep.
And it's Hidden Movement.
Yep. Yeah, so I'm taking notes on my piece of paper that they can't see on which circle location I'm going to. They're moving along on these squares
and
that are in between.
And we're also, as a detective, you're choosing to investigate a spot. So we can move where Jack is. If we do not investigate, it does not matter.
Yep.
Right.
You have to search or make an arrest.
Because he could be, hiding
right behind you
in the alley. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. That,
in the shadows.
Excuse me, sir. Clearly hiding with his cloak over his face. Could you move? This is official police.
Right.
But yeah, I just wanted to say, so not only did I love Whitechapel, but I really want to get my hands on Whitehall Mysteries and try it out because it just seems like a faster streamlined version.
Yeah, sure. I will totally check that out.
I would totally play that. Yeah, that sounds good. All right, what else?
Then we played Gorinto.
Oh,
again.
Fantastic.
Yep,
Grand Gamer Store.
Yeah, we loved it. It's a hit every time it hits the board. Everybody enjoys that. Marvel Champions. And I do have to say, Marvel Champions, regardless of what it says on the box, is a 2+ hour game.
I agree.
It is. It just is.
I have tried to make that
quickly.
I have tried to make that a faster game, and it is not successful.
Have your decks pre-made.
Maybe
ready for people
you guys
to be
are
like, here
just
you go.
If you're trying to cut down
right.
on time, yes. If you're just like playing the game for fun, part of the fun is putting that deck together.
Sure,
so.
And like getting somebody tweak a deck.
Right.
That's not quite as long.
I guess have pre-made decks and then allow people to slightly change. Maybe. Yeah. Oh, I just want to throw some blue cards in.
No, I would I would just be like, you're playing as this.
Yep.
Just be done.
I'll never play with you.
Well, it's different with you. You know how to play.
Right.
After that, we played Cthulhu Death May Die.
Oh, right on. Good game.
Yeah, it was a great game. It was probably my favorite Arkham Horror type game.
Lovecraftian.
Cool. Co-op. You kind of level up and whatnot.
Cthulhu
which is
Wars.
Neat. Yeah, but it's not co-op.
Oh, totally not.
Yeah. And
unless it's all of us versus you.
Well, yes. That's true.
Which is why you never won.
Yeah, yeah. But no, that's a great game. We love it, but we died horribly.
Oh, nice.
And then we did another co-op game, Spirit Island.
Oh, your favorite.
Love Spirit Island. Dan wasn't there, so he didn't have to miss out on
that. I was already at
that.
Work by this point, which is why they were like, yes, we can play Spirit Island.
But man, we each played like one of the newer spirits. It was so complicated. Like, we ended up winning because, like, Levi got so OP toward the end. Like, all, because my dude couldn't kill people. Like, the one I was, like, I could, like, use any areas adjacent to where I'm at, but anybody that I kill, I have to sacrifice my own bits in order to kill somebody. But I could, all my cards push people. So I'm just like, oh, you're going to attack here? Move everybody out. Oh, you're going to build over there? Move everybody out. Then Levi's like, oh, look, tsunami, kill eight, you know, eight damage. And
perfect.
Murder everything. But yeah, so that was cool. And then today we started our, we had our Meeple meetup that we were doing. And I started the day out with a Wolves of Mercia.
Oh, I wish I could have been there for that because I
played
love
that one as well.
Yeah.
Wolves of Mercia.
Fantastic game. We really try to push this game out to you guys.
One of my favorite Wolves. And I got on a huge fan of werewolf games, but it's one of the best ones.
If you like social deduction
we
games,
should snap
especially the
Wolves of Mercia.
Yeah,
right?
we got a review for that somewhere, right?
We do. It is an old one,
it is.
But we do.
Yeah,
check it out. If you like social deduction games, especially the more werewolfy type, you know, night rolls, wake up at night one at a time kind of thing, it is as far as a smaller, like it's a $15 game, I think, shipped for me in less than a week, and I mean, it's fantastic. It plays like 5 to 12 or something.
Yep. You just go to the wolvesofmercia.com, right?
Yep.
It's something like
and
that.
I'm and telling you, if you like those kind of games, if you like a smaller social deduction games, I say 100% Wolves of Mercia is the best one.
Yep.
If you like a bigger one, I would say please find out how to play Blood on the Clock Tower online. Check it out. Those are the two that I recommend.
And Dan is our little app maker kind of guy. He actually, I don't know if you're going to link to that or not on the description.
It's actually, if you go to our Facebook in the description, it's actually a downloadable file from our main Facebook.
Okay. Yeah, and it's super great. We want to have like a storyteller or a narrator because you just play the app and every night you play it, it goes through the recording and it makes the game super helpful.
Yep.
Nice. I try to word all the roles in a way that you can explain, that you can understand if you're new, but also doesn't word them too long for once everyone knows how to play. You don't want to have a second
sit there and wait and wait.
Yeah,
and wait.
Second audio file you have to sit through, you know. So yeah, there's some background music, you know, stuff to get you in the mood and everything. But
ambiance.
Yeah, ambiance. Yes. But Wolves of Mercia, please check it out check out that review if you like that kind of game.
And last but not least, we learned Terraforming Mars, Ares Expedition.
Yep. Sure.
Yep. I learned it with him as well again. We will probably have a review for that one here pretty soon. We need some more people to play it. Tim hasn't been able to play it yet. But I don't like Terraforming Mars very much. I think it overstays its welcome. I find it a little, I don't know if grindy is the right word, but for an engine builder, I just feel like it's a little messy for me. Mm-hmm. And also, I have played Underwater Cities, which I just think is better.
It's a better version.
But I do like this from the one play so far. I do like this more than Terraforming Mars.
Yep.
I thought it played really well. I like the Race for the Galaxy type phases that they use.
Right, choosing what phase actually happens.
The only negative so far for this compared to Terraforming Mars, and this is after one play, right? But the only negative so far is I feel like the engine takes longer to start up in this one, and the first half of the game feels really slow.
Yeah.
And then the second half just happens.
Yeah, because the game probably took, what, an hour, 20 minutes or so?
Right.
The first 40, 50 minutes, we're all kind of building the engine, and then like at three turns or four turns, and boom, like it would just terraformed everything all at once. And
so that's a slight negative, but that also could just be because we were all new, right?
Mm-hmm. This is true too.
But that's
that
it.
That was it.
That was my list. He covered mine. List.
Yeah.
Jeff, you got any games?
I do, actually.
Right on. Ugh. Let's hear it.
I recently got to play in, I think this would be an evergreen game, Wingspan.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
Okay. Yeah, I would say.
And I will say I enjoyed it after we started playing right.
okay.
Classic.
And there.
Wait, Tim taught you?
No.
No.
Wait, Tim taught who taught you?
Yeah.
I had a friend who had played before the previous day and was teaching myself and another person.
Okay.
And they taught sorry to call you out on this, but they taught it completely wrong. Like, you're supposed to put birds from, like, the left to the right.
Yeah.
Right? And do the abilities from the right to the left when you activate. She told us that you can put birds anywhere, but they proc left to right. And so when I put like two birds in like the left spot, I was like, so I can't use their powers? This doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that's weird.
And I like looked through the rule book. I was like, wait a second.
Yeah, sometimes ask for the rule book.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Yeah. But, I don't like to insult Tim. Well, I do. But what I mean is, like, when we're playing games with Tim, I tend to ask for the rule book a lot. And it's not because I doubt you. If you're on your off turn and you're learning a game, I just think you should hand the rule book around and just have everyone learn in their off time, you know? And you get those, you might catch something that someone else missed, or you might reaffirm something you weren't personally super strong under. Like, oh, Tim explained that, but I don't fully understand it. Let me read it, right? And so I just, when you're doing a new game, I just think keep the rule book kind of passing around when it's
for
not
those interested, for sure. Yeah. So, Dan, I played a game that you poo pooed.
Really, really quickly.
Uh-oh.
Oh. Jeff ain't done
play,
yet.
Played one more game.
Oh, step what? Up. All right.
Two.
Whoa.
Red Dragon Inn.
Oh, okay. Man. Which yeah. version?
Fun.
Which version? I
mean, there's like 100 versions.
I don't know.
Okay, sure. Did you have fun?
It was probably like a base.
Yes, I did have fun. Cool. I ended up losing by a really way.
Okay.
I was like the longest, furthest from like being drunk. Mm-hmm. But somebody else noticed I was low on money and just tried to...
Make you poor?
Make me poor. So I tried to gamble on a gamble. And
gamble on a gamble.
Horribly.
That typically happens.
Yeah.
So...
I mean, that's but a problem was, with games fun. Like Red yeah. Dragon Inn, but there's definitely groups for them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I've never played it. I've watched it played a bit. It seems fun. It's like a take that kind of game, but there's like it's like an actual game, but the whole thing is like attacking each other right. and making mm-hmm. people drink right. and stuff. And so I do really like that mechanic, though, where you have like your drunkenness and you have like your honor, whatever
right,
they call it.
Right.
And if they ever meet and pass each other, you've like passed out. And you're right. done, or whatever. And I like that. That's an interesting mechanic and thematic.
Right.
Indeed. And I got kicked out of the bar since I had no money.
That makes sense.
Get out of here, vagrant.
So will
Tim
happen.
Played something I don't like.
Well, you poo-pooed when we talked about it. And I was skeptical. But I played Micro Macro Crime City.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I haven't played it. I just said it looks like you're just playing Where's Waldo with
so,
a story.
I will tell you right now, I will not be able to play this game with Spencer.
Uh-oh. Sure.
And I will tell you
just
why.
Like staring.
Because there's so much going on this map,
right.
you will not be able to get him to focus.
Right.
Because he will be like, yes, I am going to look for, ooh, did you guys see this over here? It's like, dude, let's do the thing we're trying to do.
Right.
Anyways, he doesn't watch the show, so
but
I can say whatever I want.
Dogs.
That's right.
But anyways, it was really cool. Now, we played the opening scenario like it was Kelly and my daughter and I played, and Julia kind of stood over us while we kind of read the card, like looked at when we guessed. So the map is like gridded, right? So it's like A to G on the top and, you know, one to whatever on the side or vice versa, whatever, doesn't matter. Basically, it's like find Mr. Rabbit. He's in Neptune's Park. And you're like, okay, so you're looking through, you find Neptune's Park, and then you go, he's in G1, right? And then you look at the back of the card, yep, he's in G1, he's been murdered, find his body.
Uh-oh.
And now you got to go yeah. through and find
and
his body.
To backtrack his life.
So, yeah, but the way that they did it was really pretty interesting, because there's all of these references on the board for all kinds of stuff. But then it's like not just it's like, why was he murdered? And then so now you're figuring out like what is different about him over here, you know,
right.
than here.
Oh, he was missing his watch. It was a robbery or something like that.
Right. And then like who was the killer? You know, mm-hmm. was you know, like and then you've got to there's just without getting like spoiling too much. It took us all over the map. Like there was a couple times where I thought it was going to end like, oh, well, we solved this. And then there's like more stuff. And you're like, oh, crap.
Right. And how many do you know how many like mysteries come with the game?
There's a stack
oh,
of them.
Really?
There's a stack of them.
Nice.
Where did you get the game to play?
My sister
okay,
had
so
it. So I was at my sister's house. Yeah, okay. She had it. And that was one that my wife on the way home was like, man, we should find that game. Mm. And I was like,
yeah,
oh, I'll check the game store.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, she had already looked it up, like,
nice.
Online.
Yeah,
and I'm
yeah.
like, well, let me look at the game store and see yes. if we can get one in the game store.
It's an interesting idea that I just think sounds too simple for me. Like, why not play Sherlock Holmes Consulting Detective?
Yes.
Right?
This is a more accessible version, and right. faster version.
Well, way faster, sure, right?
Sherlock Holmes Consulting Detective, you could take as much time as
yeah,
you want.
Yeah, that could take weeks.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
I was impressed with the amount of cases that were in it. The map is huge. Mm-hmm. Absolutely huge. I mean, it didn't fit on the table. There
wow.
was like parts hanging off the table.
Oh, jeez.
That's huge.
Well, because all those cases have to fit and make sense on that map. Like, you have to be able to trace the people's lives.
Yeah,
way, so.
Yeah. Because, like, my daughter kept, like, we were looking at stuff, and she's like, I found another dead body. I'm like, that's not the one we're, like, worried about.
We don't care about that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get them later.
But there's really interesting things. I mean, because there's like taxis and bus stops and there's, you know, parking lots and, you know, different kinds of buildings because you also got to figure out where people live.
Mm.
And so finding them, you know, finding that same character again somewhere else on the map. I was really impressed. I wasn't sure how it would just I couldn't really picture it very well in my mind, right, when hearing about how it works. But then actually seeing it in action, I was like, all right, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Also played most of another game of Ankh, actually ducked out. I was getting ready to lose. We were playing a unique scenario.
Did the
scenario.
Person who took over for you, were they forgotten or something? Or were they just
No, they
playing?
Were playing our game when they started.
They were just sitting there. I thought he was playing the whole
No,
game.
He was playing Terraforming Mars with us while
God, you're right.
Started.
I didn't even think about that.
So I just said, hey, man, like, take this seat. And we were playing in a new scenario, which was really neat. Where
Looked difficult though,
but real difficult.
Yeah,
because
there's
no merge. There's no like bounty. Taking
right.
Bountiful
getting penalties for
and you're getting yeah you're losing devotion every round or every battle every conflict.
That is crazy.
It was nuts.
You guys were almost all in the red.
We were almost halfway through the game, and they're
Caleb
all
was
still
almost
red.
In blue when we were when we ducked out. But like,
well, he
had
lost some,
and he had just lost 6 points.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, while I was not doing very well in that particular scenario, I think that is a testament to the strength and replayability of Ankh. Is that this was a whole new scenario, changed
whole new field of the game,
and we were all people who had played the game before, so we were all playing gods that we hadn't played, and so it was just a completely different experience, and I still really enjoyed it and thought it was really solid, and yeah, I just Ankh just kind of keeps going, it's like. Yeah, welcome to Ankh Week.
I love the idea.
Spencer is still thinking about it.
Oh, God.
Still
I love the sound of that because it... So we've only played, I can't even remember, 2 or 3 times, and I've never had someone get forgotten. And I really like that if you've played a bit and you're like, this forgotten mechanic isn't coming in that much, okay, play this.
Yeah.
Play this version.
Well, getting forgotten.
Yeah,
there's legit conversation. There's a very good chance that everybody loses the game that we just were playing.
Right. And
a
I
very
love
good
that.
Chance.
Yeah,
I thought, well, yeah, because Caleb said something and I go, that's fantastic.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, I love it.
Like, I think that's great. Mm-hmm. I think that is great. Now, some people might get frustrated, but that will allude to our
just
topic.
Just don't play
later.
That scenario.
That's
too.
Like Cthulhu Wars, you just make everybody lose.
Right.
It's usually my strategy. If I don't think I'm going to win, I just go for the total annihilation.
Make
everybody
lose.
That's also nice, too.
There's a reason I don't play that game with
Bob. That they include other scenarios in case. For some reason, you get bored with just
the
regular game.
And this
is
a
new challenge you can
and
do.
And the map setup was completely different and really weird.
And
fun.
The pyramids and stuff were flat.
Well, that was because Caleb forgot to bring us.
Got his fancy bits.
That wasn't scenario driven.
I know. That's funny.
But man, it's not near as pretty without
so, the. So, Ankh, great game.
Great game.
We have a review for Ankh right there. We love
Hardly
it.
Anybody's watched it.
Yeah,
though,
it's
so
actually
go
our least popular.
Somebody go look at it. Oh, it's going gangbusters. Fantastic.
Cool.
All right, so news?
News.
News.
I didn't see anything interesting.
I got One Piece.
Okay. I'll have one thing
no,
when you're
this
done.
Isn't an anime show.
Ha ha.
I like One Piece. No, I saw a game the other day that this is a video game, but I thought for a moment it was an adaption of a board game.
Okay.
And it looked so interesting to me that I almost bought it last night.
Okay. Oh, nice.
It's called Dice Legacy.
Oh,
Any of you heard of this? Bob seems like he's heard of this. Mm-hmm.
I did see this.
Yeah.
You're talking
yes.
about the video game.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, this video game looks very interesting.
Yeah.
It just came out just yesterday. It came out.
Yeah.
Console or computer?
It's
or
on computer,
Steam.
So both.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think it might be cross-platform. Don't quote me on that.
Yeah, that kind of game could easily be cross-platform.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So you play this, I guess, this group of it's like a civilization.
Yeah, it's like a civilization.
That is on this weird ring planet, and you dock on land, and you're building up your civilization and fighting against unknown forces.
Right. But why would you bring this up on a board game podcast?
All the moves you make, you do with dice. And they look like the champions of Midgar dice, where it's
you have
a sword side, a defense side, like a forging side, forging metal.
So basically, the actions you get to take on your turn are
random.
Rolling dice, and then
Correct.
You're assigning them. Like, I'm going to upgrade this city. I'm going to do this.
And
right.
The dice can combine to form new dice.
That I didn't know.
New actions.
I bet they make this into a board game.
I thought it was a board game.
Yeah, I know.
And
I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like a board game.
What game is it where you can trade in if you've got dice, the dice do upgrade. Is it
title
is
blades,
title
upgrades? Yep. Yeah, to yeah. the special.
Better dice.
But yeah, I thought it looked really cool, and I know there's some people out there who like, you know, specifically dice games, mm-hmm. not just Bob.
Yeah,
and
I love dice games. Yeah,
it seems pretty affordable
too.
Yeah, yeah. I don't remember the price.
I think it was like 20 or 30
Yeah,
bucks.
I wanted to say between 20
it's,
and 30.
It's a lower
I want Slay,
game, but
Slay the Spire to come to.
Me too.
To
well, that's the
console.
That's a board game coming out. That,
is
was
it?
On, that was on Kickstarter, wasn't it? I'm pretty sure. Or it's
yes.
coming to Kickstarter.
Yes.
One of the two.
Yeah, something like that.
But I'm excited
I
for that.
I really want to play that. Mm-hmm. That's like right up my alley.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Levi's been obsessed. You should talk to him about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I have a little.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so the bit of news I've got is Gen Con. The week that yep. this episode comes out, Gen Con starting.
Yeah.
So if you're at Gen Con, go and, you know, I mean, well, first, be kind.
Be nice. Don't be a jerk.
You
be
know,
kind
cause it's
follow people's rules because you're on private property.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, it's tough enough, right? Everybody, you know, everybody's, it's hard enough
everybody's,
out there.
It's stressful right now.
So yes. so go out, go to Gen Con, have a good time. Just be a good person. Actually,
nice, follow the rules.
While you're at Gen Con, he already said all those things. when you go to Gen Con, though, check out DV Games' booth,
yeah.
Wonder Book. We've got some videos for Wonder Book. We'll have two different videos for it when this comes up. We have an unboxing of the actual Wonder Book, and then we've sort of got like a preview of the prototype that we got to see. So they are taking pre-orders at game stores. They may get copies at Gen Con, but they will not have a lot of them. So hit up.
Go there first.
Go there first. If you see Bryce and you know us, because Bryce is going to be the guy working the booth, say, hey, Board Game Rundown. Like, he will do something evil to you probably. So,
yes.
But in a fun
so
way.
So tell them.
Tell them. And, do it.
And if they're wondering, if they're not going to Gen Con, where else would they be able to get Wonder Book?
Go to your local game store and ask them to pre-order it for you.
Yep.
That's yep. the easiest way. So you can go to DV Games on their website for more information. You can check out our video. We're actually probably going to put together a playthrough, like just a first game playthrough, and we'll video it and record it so everybody can see what it looks like. And, you know, then you can make an educated decision.
Yep.
But
I have not been able to experience Wonder Book yet. I was not. In the episode,
you'll be there. You'll be there soon.
But it, yep. I have heard and seen great things, so I myself am excited.
I'm just gonna do something real quick.
I love this blue.
I do too.
This is such a good blue. I don't know why. I love
it. Like
I mean, come on, guys. Come on. Look at this. Look at this bad boy right here.
Wondrous.
It's so cool. It's really awesome.
It's a pop-up book.
Yeah,
it's
an interactive pop-up book.
There's a lot of cool stuff in here.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cool stuff.
If I was growing up as a kid, and this was like a thing, I would be begging my parents to get this.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So, anyways, that's my news is, hey, Gen Con.
And
go there,
Bob, did you already
person.
Do yours?
I didn't really have any news, but I'm just going to say, I want to remind people, go to your friendly game stores. Go to your local game store. Browse the mm-hmm. shelves. There's this game,
Beyond
the Sun. I've been wanting. I looked once. We didn't have it, so I've been looking all over online. Couldn't find it online. Couldn't find it on the secondary market for a reasonable price. I'm just browsing around today. Boom, there it is. I'm like, oh my gosh. I should just kept looking back because you never know when they're going to get something new in.
Yep, take your time. Yep. And at the end of the day, too, this is something you could have thought about is Bob could have just
asked
them
to
order
it
because
I
obviously
have.
They had a way to get it.
To get it
I
so.
Do that a lot. Yep. That's how I got my Taverns of Tiefenthal. Yep. I almost got my Quacks that way, but they just couldn't
I'm
get it.
I'm thinking about asking them about Whitehall Mysteries.
Yeah.
That might be the way I try to do that.
Yep.
I guess my little bit of news, slightly depressing. I've been depressing the whole month. Of
yeah,
news.
No kidding.
I had to cancel my Asking for Troubles Kickstarter.
Oh,
very
no.
sad about that. We're in the middle of doing a bunch of house renovations and moving, trying to buy a new house and sell our house. And it's $100. It was more than $100.
Yeah.
And we just couldn't.
It's tough,
especially
man.
Because very soon I need to get Blown in the Clock Tower, which is $95. So
yeah.
I had to make a choice, and I'm very upset because I've been stoked for Asking for Troubles for a year. I backed it over a year ago. And a little sad news, but hey, you got to make choices like that, right? You guys understand. Leave a comment down something that you've had to cancel that really killed you, because a lot of people have, and I get it.
Don't always get what you want.
Right. The great philosopher Mick Jagger once said.
Yeah, great.
Yes.
Pump the brakes on great.
That's a quote from House. You losers.
Well,
House?
Still.
Pump the brakes on
pump
that.
Pump the brakes.
House
all right, I like you, Rory. What else we got? Any other news?
Nope.
We're going to crowdfunding.
Crowdfunding.
So I got one. Anybody else got one?
Got one.
Okay, I can mention one.
I didn't see anything interesting other than the stuff we've already covered, which we can mention.
Man, I hope
again.
We didn't cover this one already because I don't watch the show.
Oh, I did.
So I got Artemis Odyssey.
I
Grand Gamers
about
Guild.
That. Yeah,
he mentioned it. Yeah.
I mentioned it was coming, but now
it's coming.
Out.
It's live now. Yeah. As of filming, there's like 16 days left. So when this comes out, you'll still have 2 weeks.
Yeah, just
ish.
Like 2 weeks. Yeah.
But anyways, I thought it was kind of interesting that the so your options for backing, there's like a $5 one, whatever. That's for retailers. So you get the $55, you get the retail edition. $65, so $10 more, you're going to get the Kickstarter edition, which is basically the deluxe edition. So you're going to get like 3D miniatures and all kinds of stuff like that. I mean, for $10, just get the nicer version.
Right,
or wait.
Well, I was going to say, I had backed the Artemis Project, which is like the prequel to this,
right,
and got the Kickstarter version. And the little minis that come with it are pretty cool. Like, you need them? No, you don't need them, but they're pretty neat. If you like fancy bits, that's the way to go.
So it's funny you say that, because if you spend $130, you can get Artemis Odyssey Kickstarter Edition plus the Artemis Project Kickstarter edition.
Oh,
nice. So you can get both.
That's cool.
Kickstarter versions. $130, super reasonable.
And Bob recommends Artemis Project quite a bit.
Yeah, I like it. It's a lot of fun. It's you roll dice, and so then you're using those dice as workers to allocate them to certain things. And what's kind of neat is like to gather like some of the different resources, you have like a push mechanic to where it's like you line all your dice up in like sequential order. So like somebody puts, oh, I'm gonna put a 3 down there so I can get 3 of those. And you're like, well, I'm gonna put my 2, and the 2s are gonna get to go before the 3.
Right.
And you might end up getting all those resources before the 3 gets a chance because you don't resolve everything until all the dice have been placed
out.
It
was kind of like that same kind of thing, and I'm so sorry I'm gonna mispronounce this. What was that
Ping Yao.
It had that like same dice
right.
Like, order
knock
thing.
Out of the
way
out a bit.
I thought it was cool.
Man, crunchy game.
Yeah, it's neat.
You could have just said first Chinese bankers.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. I was trying to say the correct. I'm very interested in seeing what the deluxe looks like on this game because I saw it. I don't know if it was a prototype copy because I saw it a while ago, but I saw Odyssey set up on a table. And I didn't like the look of it.
Okay. I don't know. I like the color scheme. I like actually like some of the way that the game boards look and everything.
Right. It might
I think
be
it really
super
neat.
Fantastic. Like it's kind of like the same kind of thing. Cosmic Encounter. I've been talking about that a lot lately. I mean, the setup is just some cardboard cutout planets with pieces on it. And it's like as a setup game, it
with
doesn't look that interesting. But it's a classic to a lot of
so
people. So
it's already gone, but I thought this was really cool. So for $199, you could get the you could have, they only had 5 of them. You could have gotten a reviewer prototype and then they send you the Kickstarter version later.
Yeah.
Of just Artemis Odyssey. Okay. But they would send you the prototype as soon as the Kickstarter ends.
Right.
So you could have the reviewer prototype to play right away.
That's cool.
Which I thought was really neat. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, not to shill for Grand Gamers Guild, but I thought that was really cool. It seems like a company that does a lot of things right.
Yeah, and I really enjoy Grand Gamers Guild.
What else did they make?
The Belgian beer race.
Wait, Belgian beer. We unboxed that.
Didn't we unbox that?
That's so...
Whoa, there it is.
Weird is there's also a Garinto review.
Yeah, Garinto.
I don't know how many snaps
Gamers they've done a lot of like games that we've enjoyed.
Yeah, they have. They have.
I honestly,
Endangered.
Before Bob and Tim, I didn't really know them by name, and then I've been introduced to all their games. I'm like, they make good games.
This is Bruno Fiduti and Serge Leget.
Leger?
Fancy.
I don't know.
Ooh, looks like that has gamer trays.
Oh, yeah. Game trays. But yeah, I don't know what Dan's talking about. I think this game looks beautiful.
Yeah.
So
I said it could have been a pre-production copy that someone had set up
for
a coverage thing that they were doing. Because I just saw it set up on the table, and I was like, that looks weird. Yeah. So I don't know.
And some games at setup don't have a whole lot of table presence.
And then build up.
And then,
I mean, look at the letters from Whitechapel. Not a lot going on the board.
That's true. And,
and we had so much fun playing.
I loved that.
Yeah, really
so
good.
Speaking of Grand Gamers Guild, this game reminds me a lot of them. It's not their game, but Endangered. This game is called The Spill, and you're working cooperatively to try to rescue sea life from this oil spill. One of the neat things. Yeah,
it's like we're just talking about Endangered.
That's what I was saying. It just reminded me of that. But no, so there's this big tower in the middle, and you're dropping dye down in the tower, and it splits into 4 different territories, and depending on what you get and what territory, like more oil is spilling out that direction. You gotta try to manage the spill and rescue
the
dice.
Black,
they are.
Yeah.
Is this like are the regions separated by like actual eco locations or?
No, it's just because it's in the water, right? So it's like a big oil rig out in the middle of the water, right? And then it's got like a little box like this with that are split into four ways, and it's got a tower in the middle.
I was going to say, and it actually has like a tower in the
middle. Yeah, and you drop the die in the tower, and they come down, and like the bottom has got like a little cone, so all the dice go.
It's a dice tower.
Yeah, it's basically a dice tower. Yeah. Four-way dice tower.
Can you play as Mark Wahlberg?
What?
I'm out.
Bathe the whales.
But no, so they got a $45 pledge for like just like the base game, and then it's $60 to get like, and that base game does come with the dice tower and everything too. But then there's a $60 deluxe edition, right? And you got like upgraded tiles and.
Can I just say, all you people making games right now, thank you for all these $60 deluxe editions that are coming out lately.
Yeah,
this
great.
Is awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, yes, a $60 deluxe edition is not nice as a $200 deluxe edition, right? But it's nice.
I mean, you know what? There's some $50, $60 games that I've opened up.
I was
going to
say, the first time
like,
I remember it like happening and being like, wow, like quality for a $60. It's not $60, it's a little bit more, but like Oceans had that deluxe edition. So affordable and so worth it.
Yeah.
And since then, I have seen so many come out, and I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Good stuff.
Yeah,
all right. All right, are we?
Crowdfunding.
You got crowdfunding, or are you?
I could mention one briefly,
very briefly,
very briefly. Go,
Andrew Duck.
Lands of Galzir. Mm-hmm. It looks like an interesting
Zelda game.
It looks like the art was very heavily inspired by Zelda.
Sure.
Oh, okay.
But I want to say, looking into it a bit more, it's not Zelda. Obviously.
Okay.
Well.
It's
like gameplay and everything wise.
Yeah, gameplay and everything wise. It's more like you're playing like an adventure, but you're more.
I'm playing as Bink.
Right. You're playing as Bink
and going.
Right.
I and gotta you go, rescue
going around Zelda. And
Princess Zelda.
Rescue Princess Zelda.
It's more a city building game.
Okay, that could be
which
cool.
Which is really interesting. I wasn't.
Which is Hyrule, though.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Because the picture on the cover is a guy looking into the mountains. Right. So that's a little weird. But
But you're building these cities and you're trying to like
right
trying to build up these cities to like I can't remember it like you're. So monsters don't attack or something, but something big epic. But like it's also like an open world
city
building
game. I want on the front of the box in big bold letters, something big epic. Jeff Rector.
Bum, bum, bum.
Thumbs up.
And then Mark Wahlberg arbitrarily there.
Right.
For
playable
Dan.
Character.
For Dan.
Deepwater Horizon.
Don't care. I was just out saying. At Mark Wahlberg. I was out.
Wahlberg.
I was out.
Okay. He's an inventor.
Say hello to your mother for me.
I know, right? That's
all right, is that it? Is that it?
How you doing?
Yeah.
All right, so I got a real quick story that will lead into our topic.
Interesting. Okay.
So I had the good fortune to be able to spend some time this weekend at my sister and brother-in-law's. And I went with just the whole the whole purpose of whenever I see them, they're hosting like a big game weekend.
Yep.
So I never actually like we get to talk here and there,
right.
But they're also kind of being good hosts.
Right.
So they've got to
other people guess that we got.
So I said, I want to hang out with you. I want to watch Notre Dame football. And I just want to BS. If we play games, we play games. But like, I just want to be able to hang out and have conversations.
Weird.
So I know, right? So Patrick had a Ankh horror story, which then led to our topic.
Okay.
So they were playing Ankh.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing very well. And they were playing a rule wrong.
Okay.
He did not teach. He went to someone's house.
Right.
Adam, you know Adam.
Okay.
He went to their house. He had it all set up. Did the teach. So they're all playing, and they're playing a rule wrong with the obelisks. Obelisk attuned, which means basically at the start of a battle, you can move figures there.
Right. It's like a teleport station.
Right. At the start of your battle.
Right.
So they were playing it wrong, as in he was just whether or not he was involved in that battle. He was then moving figures.
Oh, so you could just be in any battle that had an obelisk in the area?
With that you control.
As long as you control that obelisk, you just teleport from obelisk
to
obelisk.
So they were playing that, and they got to the last battle. Patrick moved a bunch of his stuff, and the guy who was in the battle with him goes, I'm not sure that that's how that works. Picks
no
up the rule
way.
Book and goes, oh, we've been doing this wrong.
Yeah, you're not
and
allowed
then,
to do that?
Yes.
Oh, man, I'm
and then,
so mad.
And then won the game.
I am so mad.
And then won the game. And so Patrick, to his credit, took it on the chin and just said,
okay.
I give you your victory, but I think it should have an asterisk.
Asterisk, yeah.
So, and because I said, in games like that, if we've been playing a rule wrong, everybody agrees that we just keep, we
finish the
we,
game with the same
we acknowledge
rule.
That this rule is wrong, but he wasn't the only one using that rule.
It also depends. Like, if we're halfway through a game and the rule doesn't make that big of a difference, hey, let's switch to the right rule now. Right?
Well, it was like, also
that
like in
is
the,
such a big difference.
And it was also like in the third conflict, too.
Right.
It wasn't like at the
beginning
of the battle.
Conflict, yeah.
And so, yes. So then it ends up Pat comes in second and loses to the person who pointed out
the rule.
Yikes.
So, which had Patrick say the words that lead directly to our topic. So this is for him. Why do we play the game? So do you play the game to have fun, or do you play the game to win?
Yes.
That is his honest answer.
That is my own. Both.
Yeah.
No, and that's acceptable.
Yeah.
But some people, like, so, and I agree to this line of thinking. Patrick would rather lose twice.
Yes.
Than win once in an agonizingly long and tedious game. He would just rather be done and lose a couple games, but he had a good time playing than be miserable. So
he said that a couple times.
So for that, I play games to have fun. I do try to win. I do try to play competitively because I think it's also not fair to the other players if you're not even trying.
Right. If you're not trying, you are negatively impacting other people because other people can take advantage of your lack of trying and walk over
you. Like, oh, well, your neighbor.
It's the classic risk argument. We're like, oh, Australia just gives up. So now the person controlling Europe now just walks in and controls Australia because they didn't care. And the people on the other side were like, well, that's unfair.
Yeah, because I've been fighting my neighbor's whole
classic. Hate that.
So I think it's an important question that you need to ask yourself and how you're going to conduct yourself. And also I would say that, like, know your group, right? Because different groups are going to have different mixes of guys. There are going to be some guys, you're going to sit down at a table with some guys that are absolutely cutthroat competitive no matter what the game. And it's like, there are some games where I just might not, even if I'm good at that game, I don't know. There might be. If I'm real good at that game, I might do it
take them down a notch.
Fantasy. DC deck builder.
Yeah, you're right.
I will
run. I mean, do you really want to talk about your track record of the tournaments for DC deck builder? I mean,
I'm good in the tournaments at DC deck. You want to talk about it? How about how's yours?
Well, okay, let's not go too far.
Yeah.
Hearsay.
So
I've won some tournaments.
I definitely care way more about fun than winning. I think most people answer that way, though, because they don't want to come off as
a
douche,
right?
But I do try to win, but I will say I try to have fun while trying to. The thing that will take me down most in a game isn't whether I'm winning or losing. It's if I feel the experience has been fair, right? If something has happened that I feel is an unfair setup due to a rule change, like you're saying, or due to, I don't even know. There's so many examples and I can't think of them right now, but there's just something that I feel like I don't feel like everyone's playing on the same line right now. And even if it's not me, I feel like that person has had such bad luck with dice and stuff. Like, if it's a dice game, that person has such bad luck with dice. They are so far behind. I couldn't imagine being them right now. Why did they play?
Well, and again, the other thing then is, because this is we went through a bunch of different examples and stories, is it's like, then you do not prolong the game. You either, if someone, like, let's say we're sitting right here playing a game, and let's just say Bob is having, like, the worst experience,
right,
and we're all doing fine, whatever.
Let's not min-max.
Right. Let's just get this over with so that one person isn't sitting here miserable.
Exactly.
I would even almost go, like, if you're having that bad of a time, let's just stop and play something that everybody wants to play.
Right.
Because unless I'm winning. No, just kidding.
No, unless you're not winning. You're like, give me one more turn.
But you should also really not give up, right? Because I was playing a game the other day, and my friend was just complaining the whole time. He's not having fun. And then all of a sudden, like, toward the end of the game, took off.
Oh, so Pete was at your house?
Right, the guy who just complained for 4 hours ended up winning.
But I do agree with that, too. That negative, like, it should not be up to you, the loser, if the game ends soon. But if everyone else sees that you're clearly going through something and everyone agrees he's not catching up, that does change the feeling of the game
through. Don't be a baby about it to get your way.
Exactly.
Right.
There is a difference, right? Because that person...
Yeah, I'm done. Next.
Yeah, there's no point. Doesn't matter what I do.
Well, board games are about winning. I don't think I would have fun with hardly any of them.
High five!
I've seen you win like one.
Well, yeah.
Trogdor, you won Trogdor, right?
Yeah.
You can't say that.
Co-op. You say that every
time.
You won
that co-op
game.
I mean, at the end of the day, I do think it's about if everyone is having fun with the game, whether they win or lose.
Which goes back to your
game group
thing.
Thankfully, I'm pretty easy to like entertain. I don't want to say that in a bad way, you know.
Right.
Like, I'm a cheap date.
Well, I
will. But it's. I mean, I have fun usually with games, especially when I play with you guys and with other people. And even if someone's like doing like a bad teacher thing, like and being like, "Oh, I'm teaching you guys, but I'm going to."
Right, right. Well, that's two bleeps for you this
time.
At least he has to do the bleeping.
Yeah.
I'm the one that has to do the bleeping, so. Yeah.
Well, so I'm going to use a Magic the Gathering and bore Dan real quick. Example. Sure. Here's the thing is, when I'm playing in the app, if I don't, I rarely will concede a game early because I want to give people the opportunity to play their decks and stuff. But if it is clearly like all you need to do is attack me
and you're not doing it,
and you're not doing it, I'm quitting.
Yeah, just
as I'm done.
Can you put your hand on your deck in Magic? Is that a thing? A surrender?
No.
You can concede in the app. Yeah, boom. You just concede.
I'm saying if you play real life, is there no surrender mechanic?
Yeah, it's called scooping. You're like, I give. And you just
scoop
cards.
Okay. Okay. I was going to say, there's like an official, again, haha, Yu-Gi-Oh's for children. There's an official surrender mechanic in Yu-Gi-Oh.
So my whole thing, is, again, though, right? That's kind of being a turd, like as far as a winner. Like, okay, look, we get it.
Yes.
Yeah,
you've won. Whether you beat me by an inch or a mile, winning's winning.
Like,
right?
Let's just move on. And so we can either play another game or I can go and play with somebody that I will have a good time playing games with. But that's a big thing because I had a game that really ticked me off. I was playing one of my favorite games. I was playing GKR, Heavy Hitters, and it was a three-player game, which this can happen. This can happen in a three-player game. One dude was way behind, and Spencer and I are just going toe-to-toe, and then basically that dude was just like, well, I'm not going to win. I was going to win, and then he just threw in for Spencer.
See? That was my risk whole thing. Yeah. That whole, like, just throw it. I'll just throw everything at this person.
And you can bleep me. But I was like, well, that's and I normally don't do that in a game because I try to be very, polite and make sure. And I say, well,
that's being a sore loser.
Yeah. I just said, well, that's not, like, why should we even play the rest of this game? Yeah.
I should have just been 2v1.
I finish out the turns, and Spencer is like trying to maximize his thing. I'm like, dude, you've got me. Just do this.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, done. Thank you. Bye. Boom. Like, put it up. Let's play something else.
Because
I did not appreciate that experience.
Skirmish games should be played 2v2.
Well, here's the other thing. Here's the other thing is I will not play GKR with that person again.
Right. Yeah.
Just because.
Yeah, that's a crappy way to go about it.
And I didn't tell them that, but like it is never... It's
not going to happen.
That is not going to happen.
Yeah.
And that's how I protect myself.
Yeah, don't put yourself in that situation.
Yes.
Yeah. I will say too, just from my own experience, kind of toot my own horn, but in a negative way here. From my own experience, I'm very good in games, and no one ever trusts me when I say this. I'm very good at games in knowing exactly when I threw the game and knowing exactly when someone's about to make a really bad move. I'll say like, Tim, I understand I'm in first and you're attacking me right now, but I know what Bob's about to do. It makes way more sense to attack Bob. And, you know, who knows what Bob's going to do? Blah, 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 attack me, and then Bob runs away. I'm really good at seeing those moments and talking about them. And so if I know that I just threw a game, I do tend to hurdle and get really quiet and everything. I try not to ruin the experience for everyone else, but, like, inside, my depression has gone all mad.
That. No, it
and
was...
I'm just, and I'm just so
I'll never
dead.
Financially that recover from this.
That Ankh game where that happened to you.
Right. And I mean, I try not to ruin anyone else's experience. I try not to be the whole, like, it doesn't matter. I'll just throw... Whatever. I'll play this guy. Right. I still play and everything, but I just get really quiet. And you can always tell when Dan has seen something really important happens, whether other people see it or not. You know exactly when that happens in games. I do not hide my emotions well.
Well, in your defense, I do tend to get a little more impatient when I know it's like out of reach.
And
one person's going to win.
Come
it's
on,
like, come
just
on.
Go. Yeah.
Like,
you got it. Just play something.
Yes. Like, let's get
bring Magic
it is
back
really
up again.
Hard, too, though, to like see when someone's really not enjoying themselves in a game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're still playing it because everyone else seems to have a good time.
Right.
It's just like, well, that person's going to win, and I don't know what I'm doing.
Right,
but
which is why I say I don't verbalize it.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm very bad at hiding my emotions, but like, I'm not going to try to ruin this for everything else. Yes, I am sad. I am depressed. My life sucks right now. Keep playing.
Yeah.
You're doing great.
Go ahead. But no, like kind of like you were saying how you can see that happening. We were playing Magic the other night, and my friend Tim's like, you know, he was getting attacked by this other guy, and he's like, you should attack Bob. You should attack Bob. He's about to go off. You should attack Bob. And I'm like, I don't only have like two things out here. What are you talking about? He attacked it. My turn. You're all dead. Sorry, he was right.
Yeah. First rule playing Magic with Bob, attack Bob.
The first rule playing Magic with Bob, do not play Magic
with Bob. The second rule playing Magic with Bob,
do not play Magic with Bob.
After years and years and years of losing to Bob in Magic, yes. Don't do it. It's not worth it.
You keep saying years. It makes it sound old.
I know. We've known each other a long time.
Right.
I know. We're going to edit this out. Push the black beard.
Yeah.
But I honestly don't know what else to say other than I play a game to have fun. I obviously try to win, but not over try. And I, again, the thing that matters most to me in a game is I want everyone to feel like they're on an even playing field.
So I'm going
to
put this out.
I try to be fair. Sorry, I have to cut in real
no,
quick.
No, go.
But, you know, I think that's the most important thing. As long as it's fair, it's even, you know, like people aren't like kind of changing rules or trying to interpret things that make it seem like overpowered or wrong. Right. Just as long as it's all even handed, like I try to win, but fun is fun.
So I will tell you though, also, if you're a shark, right? If you're playing game and you're cutthroat every time you play, that's fine. Yeah. But I would read the table.
Not just that. I would love all you sharks out there to go play once a game where everyone playing is a shark and see how miserable it is for if everyone was a shark.
Well,
the experience
I don't mind swimming
that
in the shark tank. If everybody's in the shark and we know we're playing a serious game, we're all trying to win. You know, like we got some people out there, man. Like you play Blood Rage against a guy and before you know it, like the game is over. Like,
right.
Like,
I don't mind playing a shark. You know what you're getting into. I'm just saying that I think that if they all had to face each other, they'd be like, man, this isn't as fun as if we just had fun.
Right. Let me ask you guys a question. So one of my friends, she's not a shark, but she's when
she's
I
probably
play.
A human.
Yeah, no. she's one of the more random people I play games with more often, I should say. And she wins a lot. Mm-hmm. She's competitive. Mm-hmm. What is your experience with people who go into games being like, I'm going to win. I don't care if you're having fun.
Again,
that's
at
what
that
I
point,
would call a shark.
I would again at that point, if they literally have the mentality of I don't care if you're having fun, this is like a competition, I'm just not going to play with those people. After I play with them once, it's not like I hate that person, but it'd be like we don't belong in the same game group.
Right. So we should play a co-op game together.
I will tell you
the
this
alpha problem,
if it is a game that I'm familiar with,
right,
and they say something like that. Oh, I will.
Or even,
I will
even have to verbally say it, but just you get the feeling that they're playing to win and they don't care if anyone else is having fun
so,
at this table.
So
we all forget that sometimes.
Yeah,
there's times, man, where I go after people like that. I've done that in games that I've been better at. You know, like, and it's like, okay, that's how they're gonna be.
Okay,
I'm gonna make them work for it. Yeah. Well, it's funny because you talked about last week how. Like, you know, a lot of times I'm playing a game just like this. And then there's some games where you see me just like.
Yeah.
The good, the bad, and the two.
And that's what I'll do, though.
Where'd Captain Goofy go?
and the other thing is I'll start talking trash, too.
Oh, yeah.
I will, if they're going to be like that. I'm gonna make you work for it.
Stoop to their level, Tim.
I'll go. I mean, come on, man.
Like, I got a salt shaker over here.
Again, I think that.
But I don't like behaving like that. But there is that competitive bone in me that can be brought out, and it's usually brought out by people I think are turds.
Yeah. Right. It's like they've poked in the chest enough. You know, like poke back.
Like, come on, man, I'm trying to have a good time, but if you want to play like that, let's play.
Yeah, I genuinely just think, first of all, I don't get to play games a whole lot anyway. I don't get to play games very often, and the fact that my fun and fair factor are the top two things for me, I just think that after I play a game with those people once, I would just avoid playing with them.
Yeah.
If it happens, it happens, but I just like... I don't want the one time a month I get to play games with a group of people to be soured by something that I think is
absolutely
a negative interaction.
If you don't have a lot of time, you've got to make the best out of your time. And if being a shark, right? Like being that uber competitive monster is the person you are and that's how you get the most fun, then fine. But I would also say again, read the table, be considerate to other gamers. Otherwise, people aren't going to play with you.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and I just can't imagine someone who's a shark all the time, right? That just seems crazy to me. Because, like, something like Ankh, it makes sense. Oh, this is, like, a deep, competitive game. That kind of makes sense. But, like, if we, like, play Connect 4 and they, like, get super mad and, like,
boom!
I'm going to be like, you need to see a therapist. Like, something's
so
going on here.
This is why we don't play Candyland with Jeff.
Right.
We don't really talk about it.
He's way too good at that game.
And super competitive. Yeah.
Not going to your top land.
Don't talk about... The ice castle.
What's really weird though is that the second we start playing
Mountain,
when we set up the game, he looks like this, and then the second the game starts, his hair's brushed down, he's wearing all black, right. His like collar's up. It's like, who is this person? He turns into like emo Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. Right. Hate
it's really weird.
Terrible.
Yeah, it's really awful. No, but it wasn't good for anyone.
Yeah. Well, it comes to keeping things fair though. I'm not opposed to like house ruling things. Like there's a civilization game that I play that I really enjoy, but there's a couple of combinations I figured out they're just broken. So I outlaw them. I'm like, because that just makes it unfair to everybody else.
One of the best parts about board games, I'd say, is the ability to house rule something and no one can tell you.
Yeah, I really don't like. I don't understand why. I run into a lot of people that are against house rules, and I just
made that way for a reason.
Yeah, I don't understand that at all. I don't understand. Things are not made by an omnipotent being who is perfect.
I don't teach games wrong. I teach them with my house rules.
Yeah, he just rules rules. Hey, yeah, these rules work.
Your house rules change daily.
Yeah, they do.
My house, my rules.
That's okay, so alien helps. And, you know,
like, to name drop someone, Z Garcia, very prominent in the hobby and probably my favorite part of the Dice Tower, he is adamantly against house ruling, and I just don't understand it. I am so for house ruling. Let's make this game as fun as possible.
That's,
you know?
Our mentality, though. We want to have a good time.
It depends on the house rule, too. Some people are just like, make it silly. You know, it's like, but not even really that
competitive again, at that
anymore.
Point, though, if someone says, hey, my house rule is this, and everyone goes, let's play something else, that's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Like, they have to convince everyone to play with that rule.
Well, I mean, it's like Monopoly with free parking. And if you take money, and it's like, oh, well, you're playing it wrong. It's like, no, I'm playing it the way I've played my whole life, and I am maximizing my enjoyment out of this miserable game.
I
can't play a draw four or another draw four. Sure, I can.
Yeah. Or a favorite just one. I don't think anyone has played just one correctly.
Yeah.
How you're actually supposed to.
That was my example.
Yeah.
Just one in concept. Like, in concept, I say all the time, I have never used the light bulbs.
Yeah.
Not once. Sure. What are they for? Scoring? What's
ideas.
That?
Ideas.
Yeah. This goes into, again, I just don't like this mentality with the game is not made by perfect beings. Mm-hmm. And saying that, well, the game was designed that way, do it. I don't understand that at all. It crosses into video games, comes up all the time in video games where someone will use a clearly overpowered, broken or tactic. And they'll say like, hey, if it's in the game, I'm allowed to use it. I'm just like, yeah, but you're just proving you have no moral compass at all. And you're willing to use something broken for your own advantage.
They're just playing to win and not playing to have fun.
Right, I guess. And again, that's just my mentality. I want everyone to have fun.
Because I will say also like another thing, not just winning and fun, right? But let's just take it into branch off into a different direction. I also play board games for the social experience.
Yeah, I haven't even mentioned that yet, and that's my number one.
Yeah.
That's why I moved.
Definitely.
That's why
way
I moved from video
here.
Games to board games.
Yeah,
I like being with a group of friends and talking and interacting.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, I have made friends
because of the hobby.
Because of the hobby. I actually, you too, is role-playing games.
Yeah,
yeah,
me too. I have also made friends.
Because of this hobby.
Sorry, audio listeners. That was a visual joke.
Dan pointed to everyone but me. Yeah. Which is fair. Yeah. But no, I mean, again, the social aspect. I don't have a ton of time to always play games.
Yep.
So when I do, I try to play games with people I like. And Dan.
Try. And Dan. There it is.
And see people, you know, and see friends.
I'm just very bad at being social, just in general.
Yeah. But it helps, right?
Yeah,
it helps. Hey.
You should word that sentence better. I'm just kidding, because you're bad at being social.
I don't know. Whatever.
But,
kill me.
Just make you feel
just
more
kill me
awkward.
Now.
Yeah.
But it's one of my favorite things about the game, and just getting to sit at a table, because then, yeah, you do get to talk trash. You get inside jokes. You've got, you know.
You get to high five.
You get to high five people or watch high fives go over you.
Right, as no one ever wants to high five you for some
reason. I'm just
not
too
bitter.
Short.
Slap hands.
I'm too short. I can't
But
reach.
Yeah, no, the social interaction of board gaming is, which is why I tend to love social deduction games, too. Getting everyone together and thinking of
I love negotiation
talking on these
games.
Negotiation and party. You know, don't get me wrong. I love a good Euro and everything, right? But like, man, there's just something about those, the Twilight Imperiums, the Battlestar Galacticas, where you're playing a game, but you're also constantly looking at each other. And,
I love it.
You know,
I love it.
Who's full of crap?
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. But yeah, I mean, that's another very important aspect of why you play games, or, you know, why people play games. But yes, the social aspect. So for me, it would be social. Well, fun. Social, because I think they go like
hand in hand,
right?
Yeah, I mean, you obviously want to have fun most, right? Because people can play solo, people can play two, and then it's less social,
oh,
right?
Sure,
but
sure.
Okay. So fun.
So fun. Right behind it is social.
Yeah. It's fun social fair, I think, but I mean, it's so close. And they're all number one, and then everything else is like number 20. Yeah. You know?
And then winning.
That's how numbers work.
Winning is
what?
I mean, for me, the top would be being able to trash talk everybody to
right.
their face.
Yeah. Which is weird because we've played multiple games with you and you've never done that. So you fail.
Well, he goes home. Good like day, on the, on the drive home.
I should have said this.
It's like, oh, the jerk store called and they're out of you. That's what I should have said.
Yeah, in his face.
No, you shut up.
It's from Seinfeld.
I was going to say, it sounds like an Ash joke. It's a terrible joke.
Yeah, right, right. But yeah. Yeah, man. So why do you guys play games?
Let us know.
Please. I want to have a whole conversation about this. Just say why you play games, why the things that you dislike most in the hobby, like the things you avoid because you
What traits of people do you try to avoid?
Just because you like A, that means you obviously are going to be a little annoyed with B. If you like fast games, you won't like long games usually, right? So like, tell us all that. That's such an interesting topic.
Or are you like me and okay with whatever as long as they're having fun?
Oh,
that,
have
that
a
makes it fun.
Freaking opinion, Jeff.
That makes it, he just did. He said it's fun.
Yeah.
Maybe not his own fun, but everybody else's fun.
Sure. It could be fun, but you know, maybe a board game may not be fun.
Anyway.
All right. Spencer's not here. So don't.
Not Dice. The opinions of Jeff are not necessarily the opinions of the board game rundown and its affiliates. Nice.
Not Dice is life.
Oh, okay.
It is.
All right.
So anyways, in closing, let's just say, hey, check out Miniatures Rundown.
Yeah.
They've got a weekly, you do shows more than once a week, right? You've got multiple
things dropping.
Drop a week.
There's a couple of things dropping a week now.
They're dropping.
Good job.
Jeff is there all the time.
Good job marketing them when you don't know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There you go.
We do other stuff. BattleTech, X-Wing, they're going to be doing some more Blitz Bull.
You guys
stuff.
Haven't done episode 2 of X-Wing yet, right? Did I miss it?
No, we
okay.
haven't.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
So there we go.
I want to see you crash into more asteroids.
We should be doing that this week.
Cool. I like crashing into asteroids.
Yeah.
But anyways, so Miniatures Rundown, very important. Check them out. Good channel. And then also check out our friends at the Board Game Mechanics.
Yeah.
Pretty okay. They're getting real close to 1,000 subscribers.
Yeah,
they're like 20 away.
Fantastic.
And Jason and I like message all the time. And I'm like, dude, I can't wait for you to get to 1,000.
Are they still doing their giveaway right now?
I think the giveaway's done.
Sorry, guys, but they do giveaways.
Yeah,
so
get on there so you're ready
for
the next one.
So just subscribe, join their Facebook group, The Riveted. They have built and cultivated an awesome community over
Hashtag
The Riveted. And Jason throws up weekly videos. There's also a weekly podcast.
Yep.
Or I shouldn't even say weekly videos. There's videos all the time.
They did a review this last week, and both of them were in the video.
Yeah,
and
Jason and Katie were both
really confused.
In the Shelfie Stacker.
Diagnostics.
Shelfie Stacker. He seems to be enjoying that one quite
a bit. Yeah, I think I need to play it again, then we can do a proper review.
Okay.
Because I did not love it the first time
I didn't love
it,
but I mean, it's fine. Yeah. You know, it's kind of abstract.
It feels
tragedy.
A little too Azul-y to me, and I don't really love Azul.
Right.
So maybe that's my problem.
Is it more Sagrada-y than Azul?
I don't know. The difference, though, is I like Sagrada and don't like Azul. So
nice.
That's, I think,
why. So it's more like the one I don't like.
Yeah. Or, like, thanks for making a version of a game I do like that I don't like.
Oh, God.
Something like that.
Okay, sure.
Whatever. Also, hey, Bob's going to be gone, like, next couple weeks.
Yeah, finally.
Because, whoop. So let's just
say congratulations. You're finally being able to do something that's cool.
Yes, finally.
No, Bob's getting married. So
congratulations
to Bobby. We're going to miss you, but I'm glad you're gone for a good reason.
That's right.
So have a good time, man.
Thank you.
Happy to have you back when you're ready.
All right.
If Dan says it's okay.
That's not
going
to happen.
No, we won't. We won't ask for permission.
He doesn't really get a vote. We just let him think he does.
That was cold.
I don't know how that's going to pick up.
They're over here saying stuff.
He's talking trash.
Dan sucks. Nobody likes him. Who said that?
Wow. Man.
I think it was me.
Anyways, guys, for the Board Game Rundown, I've been Tim.
I've been Bob.
I've been Jeff.
I was Dan.
He was Dan. Also, don't forget, say hi to Bryce at Gen Con at the DB Games.
That was Bryce.
Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. I loved it. I was like,
from the top.
Somebody wake Jeff up.
Well, I can see why he thought he was an extra guest. He might be last. I can see it.
Yeah. Which rule trumps which?
Mm-hmm. I'm Tim.
Nope.
Yes, he is.
Thanks for checking out the Board Game Rundown. If you like what you saw, like, comment, and subscribe to our channel. Share our videos on social media and spread the word. We publish new content weekly, including reviews, unboxing, and let's plays. And as always, thanks for watching.